Praise the Lord. I'm going to read in Psalm 34 here tonight, if you'll look with me. Psalm 34. You know, when a person becomes a born-again Christian, they immediately realize that if they're really born again, truly born again, they realize that there's a change, a transformation that takes place. And I understand that, sometimes it takes time for people to develop into and to be discipled in the things of the Lord. But I believe that the new birth is a miracle. It's a miracle when someone is born again. And so they begin to see life and to see the things of the world much, much differently. Through a whole new lens, I guess we could say. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And so as a Christian, we recognize that this world is not our home. It's not our kingdom. We are strangers. We are pilgrims just passing through. It's a temporary existence here, but we're going to our forever home, and that's in heaven. And it's a real place. It's not a mystical, idealistic type place. It's reality. It's described in God's word a lot about heaven, and we know that we are not of this world, but of another world. The Apostle Paul said we're not to be conformed to the world. We're not to be shaped like the world or pressed into the mold of the world. We are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And another place in the scripture, it says that the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. It's foolishness. And it really, when you are a Christian, you begin to realize that everything that the world thinks is important and they're the things that they value, it's not the same as the Christian. It's different. We value other things. We value things that are pure and holy and righteous and godly. And we value truth, the truths of God's word. We have a whole new set of values as a Christian. And the wisdom of the world, what the world thinks is wise and intelligent and valuable and important, the Bible says it's foolishness to God. Doesn't mean anything to God and to those of us that are born again. So that kind of, those verses kind of describe what our attitude is to be concerning what's going on in the world around us. Another verse it talks about that before we were saved, we walked according to the course of this world. We were following a certain path, a certain direction. That was the way that we lived before we knew the Lord. But when we got saved, everything changes. And that's the way that it should be. That's the way that the Bible teaches that it will be if you're truly born again. If you still have a love and a desire for the world and the things of this world, really, you need to get back into the altar. You need to spend time in the presence of God. You need to separate yourself from all of those things. You really need a sanctifying work of the Spirit in your life to break you free from all of the things of this world. So as a Christian, we're not to live like the world or live beneath our privilege that God has given to us. He's provided for us. We're not to live below that. We're to have a higher expectation, a higher desire, higher goals that we're aspiring to reach for God and for the things of the Lord. Amen. We're not to be pursuing worldly things, fleshly things, carnal things of this world. This world will disappoint you every time. It will disappoint you every time. It has its allure. It has its attraction. But it's very deceptive because it'll take you in and attract you and suck you into all of its pleasure and its enjoyment and all that the world has to offer. But the Bible says all of that pleasure will only last a short little season. It's only good for a little season, and then it's gone, and then reality sets in, and you realize that the world disappoints. The world disappoints. As a matter of fact, people today in the world, especially people that have known about the things of God and are kind of on the run from God, then they're in this hard pursuit of something out there, this elusive good time. I got to go do this. I got to go there. I got to try this. I got to see this. I got to be involved in this. I got to run here and run there. And it's all in this pursuit of something that they know really down deep in their heart can only be satisfied by a walk with God, a relationship with the world or with the Lord is all that will satisfy. The pleasures of this world last just a short little season, then they wear out, they're of no value, and you come back to the reality that this world disappoints. And it does. It disappoints every time. You can see this in relationships of people that are following after the world. Half of all marriages today end in divorce. I don't know the exact percentage because it fluctuates, but it's something like about half of marriages end in divorce. Did you know the average American has 10 different jobs by the time he's age 42? 10 different jobs by the time he's 42. It just speaks of the discontentment. It just speaks of, I'm looking for something better. Surely there's something better out there. Surely there's something for me. Always looking for that elusive something special. That's the spirit of the age that we are living in right now. We live in such a mobile society. People are moving all the time. The average American moves every 4 years. I'm so glad I'm not average. Moving, Sister Leona, this must be your fourth year. It's actually your fourth year. Oh, no. Oh, no. This is a mobile society. And the average American moves every 4 years. And not so much in the case of Sister Leona, but just generally speaking about the world and the ways of the world, people are just, they can't get satisfied. They're discontented. Nothing in this world ever satisfies. It just not. It does not satisfy. Solomon, who was the wisest man that ever lived in Ecclesiastes, he says, really, this is chapter 2, verse 17. Therefore, I hated life because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. All is vanity and vexation of the spirit. Another version of that same verse, it says, this has made me hate my life. Everything we do is painful. It's just as senseless as chasing the wind. That kind of describes the world and the pursuit of the world and the things of the world. Now we've got, as the church and as believers, we got to be a step higher than that. We can't be like the world. We have to be above all of these things. And so surely there's a joy and there's a fulfillment and a contentment that we can find in the Lord and in the things of the Lord and the purpose of God in our lives. Otherwise, the scripture talks about that the cares of this world can choke out the word. It just chokes out the good things. If you get wrapped up in the things of the world, it can destroy and choke out all of the good things that God has for us. We got to live above this. We got to live higher. We got to live a victorious life. We got to live a life that's filled with joy. Amen. Amen. So when you come into the house of the Lord, it doesn't take the whole service to get a smile out of you. Amen. You don't come in all depressed. It's almost as if you're saying, I dare the singers, I dare the preacher to help me get out of my mess I'm in. I just dare you to do it. Try to do it. Some of us, you know, that are in the pulpit, on the platform, or up front, we get the view. We get the panoramic view. And I know people have problems. I know there's all kinds of things, sickness and worries and troubles, and we all have them, and I understand that. So I'm not just passing judgment on you if you don't have a smile on your face tonight. But in general, generally speaking, I think that there ought to be something going on in our walk with the Lord and our spiritual lives that sets us apart from the world. We're not like the world. The world is unhappy. The world has no joy, no lasting joy. The world has no fulfillment. And there's nothing that satisfies them in the world. So they're always searching and always looking. There should be a deep, settled peace in the believer. Amen. There ought to be a deep, settled, just a real contentment in us. Amen. Godliness with contentment is great gain, the Apostle Paul said. Amen. A contentment and a joy. So let me give you a couple of suggestions here tonight on what you can do about this so that we make sure that we're living higher. We're living above the world. We have a higher expectation than what's going on out there in the world. Number one, be a worshiper. Be a worshiper. Now, certainly in church, be a worshiper, but let that become something that you are always doing. Let me read the text now from Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Amen. It starts off here. This is David, the psalmist David, and he starts off with an appeal to every individual. He says, me, I am going to bless the Lord at all times, individually. So you don't have to have anyone with you. You don't have to be in church. You don't have to have anyone to worship the Lord with. He says, I'm just going to purpose in my heart to be a worshiper. I will bless the Lord at all times. I'm going to worship the Lord all the time. I am going to lift praises unto the Lord. And when we do that, when we are a worshiper, then we literally create an atmosphere. It's true. You create an atmosphere by your determination to worship the Lord, to be a worshiper. You create an atmosphere. Have you ever walked into a room, and as soon as you walked in the room, you didn't hear a word that was said, but you just knew that you walked in on something that didn't feel too good? You must have walked in on an argument. You must have walked in on people that were angry, or you're not really sure what it was. You just walked in and you felt it. You didn't hear one thing. You just felt it. We've all had that kind of an experience before, because atmosphere is a very real thing. It's a very real thing. It's a very spiritual thing. And the psalmist said, I am going to, with my lips, with my praises, I am going to create an atmosphere of praise unto the Lord. Wow, what would happen if 50 people, 75 people, 100 people came into this sanctuary, and they all determined in their heart, because that's been their practice throughout the day, that day, they have, every time they have the opportunity, they have from their heart been giving praise unto God. Thank you, Lord. Praise be unto God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Maybe a song in your heart and on your lips of praise unto our God. He said, I'm going to praise him at all times. I'm going to bless him at all times. It's going to always be in my mouth. It's always going to be I'm always going to be boasting in the Lord. I'm always going to be lifting up of the Lord and glorifying the Lord. Now, I'm not suggesting that you be strange or weird around people and they think that you've lost your mind because you're talking to yourself. But you know what I mean. Just create an atmosphere of gratefulness and praise unto the Lord. And as I said, you can walk into a room where people are angry or whatever it might be going on. It may be grief and sadness, and you can feel it. You can feel it, because emotion is something that can be felt. And it is also true of our determination in the world, because the world is filled with negativity. The world is filled with darkness, with evil. There's a constant expression of it in the world. Oh, the profanity and the wickedness that's coming out of the mouths of people, and it saturates the workplace. It saturates sometimes your neighborhood, your community, where you are. And there's the spewing of that which is evil and that which is detrimental. And it creates an atmosphere. Amen. It does. It really does. I remember several times myself just being on a public job and walking into a room and people using bad language, or maybe telling, you know, jokes that were not appropriate, something like that. And I was so grateful that when I walked into the room that they would kind of... Sometimes they would say things like, and I was just a young kid at that time, maybe we were just newly married, and they would say, the preacher walked in the room, we better be quiet. Thank God. Amen. That tells me that you and I, we have the potential to change the atmosphere, to do something about that through an attitude of glorifying God, worshiping God. So it goes without saying that if you are defeated, gloomy, depressed, hopeless, you take that with you wherever you go. You even bring it to church with you, and it has an effect. Your emotion and your atmosphere, you take it with you. Amen. Notice how this works in this Psalm 34. First, he says it's an individual thing. I'll bless the Lord at all times. Then he says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. So instead of boasting and bragging what people are hearing, they're hearing the fact that you are giving glory to God in all things. And then he says, join in with me. Join in with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And so you take your spirit and your atmosphere of worship and praise and speaking words of hope and faith and confidence in God. You take that right into the atmosphere. It's a very real thing. Remember 1 Samuel when Saul was king and a wicked, dark spirit would come on him, and he would fall into this dark place of probably terrible depression and just overwhelmed by a dark and evil spirit that would come and would afflict him. And he would call for David to come and to play music. Remember that? 1 Samuel 16 and 23, it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed. Praise God. and was well. And the evil spirit departed from him. Now, David, we know that David played skillfully. He talks about playing skillfully on his instrument. We know that he was gifted and he was skillful as far as his music was concerned. But David was a worshiper. David wasn't just a musician. He was a worshiper. He wanted to glorify God. And as a matter of fact, his whole life purpose was seeing the temple built and seeing the ark have a permanent home in Jerusalem. That was his whole life goal, his whole life purpose. Worship is what consumed him. So whenever David went in to minister to Saul, who was being afflicted by this demonic spirit, he didn't just play music to him. It was music that glorified God. It was music that was given as a worship unto the Lord. He was a worshiper, and he was changing the atmosphere, one that the demonic spirit could not feel welcome there. Couldn't coexist with that music that was honoring the Lord and worshiping the Lord. And that evil spirit, the scripture says, departed. That evil spirit departed. And Saul was refreshed, and he was healed of that demonic influence in his life. He was refreshed. Sometimes there can be in us, if we determine that you can be the kind of a person who walks with God, that you're like a breath of fresh air, that when you come into the room, you just help people. You are an encouragement. It's obvious that you've been in the presence of the Lord. It's obvious that you have that atmosphere with you when you come. I like to be around those kind of people. Don't you? I love to be around that kind of an influence. Amen. So be a worshiper. And if we're going to live above the world and above what's going on in the world, then we have to make sure that we glorify God and worship, be a worshiper. Sure, in church, but then just pretty much as a lifestyle, that we are glorifying God in everything. And, creating this wonderful atmosphere where the presence of God can work and move. A lot of factors are involved. The people that you surround yourself with, the people that you associate with, they are either adding to, blessing you, helping you, edifying you, or they're taken away from you. And they're sometimes sucking the very life out of you, the very spiritual life out of you. You can get around some people that it's obvious that they have no walk with God. And when you get around them, they are just sucking the air out of the room with all of their hopelessness and their depression and their discouragement. They need someone who understands what it is to be in the presence of God. Hallelujah. The people you surround yourself with, the music that you listen to, all music isn't good. Amen. All music isn't godly. All music isn't spiritual. I'm amazed. I'm surprised, really. There's such a shift in our church world today, and Christian people are listening to everything. They listen to country music, pop music, rock music. They listen to everything. And music is powerful. It affects your soul. It influences your spirit. Is affected by that. So be careful. Be careful what you're entertained by. Amen. Be careful. Don't surround your life and develop an atmosphere that's of this world, but instead live above the world. Live above the world. Amen. And you can do that by being a person who glorifies God. I'll bless the Lord at all times. My praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul, I'll boast in the Lord. Magnify the Lord with me. So he's created an atmosphere, and others are going to partake now, participate, join in with him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. let us exalt his name together. That's the way that it happens. If you are truly a person of the Spirit, a person that is a worshiper, you have an impact upon people around you. You influence other people for the good. Sad to say, if you are depressed, down, hopeless, discouraged, full of despair and unbelief, that spirit's also felt. And that spirit also affects people that are around you. Amen. It does. We need to expect more. We need to be above that. Above that as Christians. Amen. And one way to do that is to be a worshiper. Another way to do that is tap into this wonderful source that God has provided for us. And that source is the Holy Spirit of God. Tap in to that wonderful source that we have in the Lord. Verse 4. After all this praise goes on, after now it's not just one, but now it's group praise. Then it sets the atmosphere. Then he said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from my fears, from all my fears. Praise God. Amen. So now the psalmist is in a position that he can pray a prayer that's powerful and it's effective. It gets through. I sought the Lord. He heard me. He delivered me from all of my fears. All of that was driven away because I had power with God. Power with the Lord. Amen. So as believers, we are to be filled with the Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We are to be Pentecostal, and that just means that we are filled with the Spirit. We're filled with the Holy Ghost, and we have spoke with other tongues as the initial evidence of that baptism. But then there are many, many other evidences that follow in our life because we're filled with the Spirit. Amen. You've tapped into a secret source of strength. Because the world doesn't know anything about this. The world thinks we're crazy. But we can tap into a wonderful source, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. You have a direct line. Amen. To the Lord. A direct line whenever you speak, whenever you communicate with the Lord in the Spirit, then you are able to break through all the clutter and all of the things that are of this world and have a direct line to the Lord, a divine source of power and energy in this world. He who speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh. Amen. Praise God. When we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we're able to pray in the Spirit. Amen. We can pray in the Spirit, and no man understands. No man. Not even you. Many times we pray in the Spirit, and we don't know what to pray or how to pray. Amen. But we pray in the Spirit. And then we have a direct line, a direct connection to the Lord by the Spirit of God that is in us. We bypass all the natural thinking, the natural mind, all the opinions of men. And we have this wonderful direct connection with God. Praise the Lord. And you can be empowered of the Holy Spirit to face the challenges of the day. We live above the world because we are filled with the Spirit. We can live above. Amen. We live above the world because we're worshipers. We live above the world because we are filled with the Spirit. Isaiah 28:11 spoke about this wonderful experience. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. He's speaking of the fact that there's just this wonderful inner strengthening of the Spirit that takes place by the Holy Spirit of God at work in your life. When you pray in the Spirit, when you worship in the Spirit, when you enter into the presence of the Lord. And it says it's a rest. It's a time of rest and recovery and restoration and wonderful touch of the Lord. Amen. Another verse is in Romans 8:26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And we tap into this wonderful source that we have. The world doesn't have it. The world can't understand it. But it's something that God has provided for us as believers that we need to take advantage of. We're living in an age right now when there's so much going on in our world that's demon. It's promoted and the influence of it is demonic. I mean, how in the world could there be millions of people who would think that aborting a baby at full term and even killing a baby after it's born, that there could be something okay about that? The only way that they could do something so awful, gruesome, and cruel as they do is their eyes are blinded by the spirit of this world. The only way I can explain it. I can't comprehend or understand all of this, you know, transgender, homosexual, gay marriage, all of this stuff. It's all so far removed from my natural ability to comprehend what's going on in our world today. But we're facing a crisis in the land today. And the only way I can explain it is that it is a demonic spirit. A demonic spirit. Not too long ago, when the Supreme Court was discussing this issue, this has been last year sometime, that they writhe like snakes on the steps of the courthouse. They beat on the doors of the courthouse and hissed like snakes. Don't tell me it's not demonic. This is a spirit of the age we're dealing with. And the only way to counter it is with the Holy Spirit of God in us. The only way to face it is with the Holy Spirit of God in us. Amen. That causes us to be able to see and to understand what's going on in our world. And we see it for what it is, a work of darkness, spiritual darkness that's in our world today. And I dare say that much of the hatred and the bickering and the fighting that's going on in our country today, this is demonic spirits at work. Demonic spirits at work to try to divide and to destroy our nation that was once a nation under God. Amen. How do we live above that? How do we live above this present age? By being a spirit-filled people. Of being a church that's filled with the Spirit, anointed of the Holy Spirit. As we walk in the Spirit, we live above all of these things that are happening in our world today. And I'll offer one more suggestion here to you tonight, how you can live above it all, how you can expect more. Amen. By being saturated in truth of God's Word. Amen. That the Word of God becomes something that you are consuming on a regular basis. You're reading it. You are studying it. You are meditating upon it. You're allowing the Word of God to form and shape your thinking, your thoughts. The Word of God has the power to do that. If you saturate your heart, your mind with the Word of the Lord, it has an impact upon the way that you think. One of the reasons we are where we are in our nation today is we have a generation that has grown up without God, without the Word of God. They have not been taught the Bible. Many of the millennials of this age, this generation, don't know very much about God, don't know very much about the Bible, and they have a really bad opinion of churches. They had bad experiences. And so here they are facing the challenges of this day. So be saturated with the truth of God's word. Amen. Jeremiah 15, 16. He said, "Thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." Praise God. Amen. Take it in. Consume it. Amen. Read it. Study it. Meditate upon it. Listen to it being read. Listen to it being taught. Listen to it being preached. Listen to every opportunity that you can to hear from God and hear His word and be saturated with the truth of God's word. Amen. You know, when you're saturated with the word of God, then you know, you have the mind of God, the mind of Christ. You think like He thinks. You face the challenges of these last days as He would if you have the mind of Christ. And you only have His mind if you know the word of the Lord. Amen. Now, if you're constantly listening to the world and the things of the world and the ways of the world, when you're facing challenging times, you're not going to have anything to draw on. You'll have nothing to draw on. You're going to be completely spiritually depleted when you face a spiritual crisis in your life. And then you're going to see yourself the way that the enemy wants you to see yourself. Defeated. Hopeless. No way out. No answers. But that's God wants you to see yourself as He sees you. And while your life and your future is in His hands, and certainly we know that that is the truth, He hasn't given up on you. He still wants to work in your life. But we need to be able to see ourselves the way that God sees us. And the only way we can do that is through a saturation of God's truth in us. Amen? Remember there in Judges chapter 6, that's a familiar story about Gideon. The Bible says that Gideon was in a hiding place, hiding from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and made a declaration about him. "Gideon, the Lord is with you, thy mighty man of valor." The word valor just means courage, courage. That did not describe who he was. He was a man of fear. He was a man fearful of his life. That's why he's down in that wine press in a hiding place, just barely in survival mode. He is not a man of courage, but God says, "You're a mighty man of valor." Amen. Glory to God. So it doesn't matter how you see yourself. If you're listening to the voices of the world says you're not valuable, you're not important, you can't do anything, and you don't really matter, your opinion don't matter, nothing matters, your life is not anything at all. But God says, and that's what we need to listen to, is the voice of the Lord. And you can only do that if you are saturated with the truth of God's word. That's the voice of the Lord. I'm not saying that God can't speak to us. He can speak to us. Certainly He can speak to our spirit, and we can hear the still small voice of the Lord. And we know that's true, but primarily the way that God speaks to us is through His word. And if you're not saturated in truth, then you're going to be in a bad place whenever the enemy comes up against you. So then Gideon begins to describe who he was. "This is who I am. I am poor. I am the least in my family. I'm the least in my tribe. I'm nobody. I'm the least. I'm no one." That's how he saw himself. He saw himself. in such a shape. But that's not how the Lord saw him. Amen. Gideon, I'm with you. You're a mighty man of valor. Now we know that eventually that's what played out. That's what happened in the life of Gideon. God used him to bring a mighty victory to Israel. And a supernatural victory to Israel. But he couldn't see it. And the only way you can see it is if you are saturated in truth. Saturated in the word of the Lord. Amen. We used to sing a song. Actually, it was Terry Robinson that wrote the song. That was called, He Never Gave Up On Me. I think that was the title of it. One of the phrase in it that we have referred to a lot of times in that song was, He saw what I could be when His Spirit touched me. I'm so glad that He didn't give up on me. He didn't give up on me. He saw what I could be when His Spirit touched me. Do you understand that God, He wants you to live above the thinking, the ways of the world. Live above that. And the way you can do that is just being a continuous worshiper. A continuous worshiper. And be a person saturated in truth. And be a person filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And then we can rise above all these things that are going on in our world around us. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm convinced we live beneath our privilege. We live beneath what God has intended for us. And the Lord wants you and I to make some steps toward changing all that, developing a different atmosphere. Amen. Glory to God. Just a completely different spirit, a different atmosphere. And even when we come to the house of the Lord, the Lord could use you to be a person filled with the Spirit so that you can have an influence on everyone else that's around us. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you've provided for your people, the church, in these last days. Lord, you have equipped us, empowered us, anointed us, saturated us with the truth so that we can face the challenges of these days. Help us, Lord, to praise you. Help us, Lord, to allow that to be the expression of our lips. Let that be the atmosphere that we live in, Lord, continually honoring and glorifying your name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do a work among us, Lord, right here in this group tonight. Lord, speak to our hearts about what you say about us. Not what the world says or anyone else says, but Lord, what you say about us. About our potential whenever we're filled with the Spirit. What we can be when you have anointed us. What we can do when you have empowered us to do the task. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Do a work among your people here tonight. Hallelujah. Would you stand, everybody?